RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Tuesday morning, MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard, everybody. Victory week continues. For the Washington Commanders, they are 7-2. For those of you who aren't familiar with football records and how they work, that means the Commanders have won seven times. They've only lost twice. The last time that happened was 1996. Do not adjust your radio dial. It's for real. Maybe another Rookie of the Week for Mr. Jaden Daniels. Certainly wouldn't surprise me if that's what happens. That'd be his seventh out of nine, mirroring the team's record, although it hasn't been the same weeks the team has won. We'll dive into all that. It's election day as well. I had a lot of people ask me, am I going to do the show today? Because it's election day. Nothing to count yet. We won't start counting until 7. Get out there and vote. You got 9 hours left to do it. If you're in line at 7, they have to let you vote. I'll be working hard all night over at the Richmonder. We'll get the count. We'll get to the bottom of stuff. We got our team out and about around the city. It was up at 6 a.m. Did you know there's a 6 a.m.? Fascinating. Time. I was out at the polls, checking in on some things, posting the stories. I have a lot of stories, I feel like. I'm just not going to share any of them today. Because I got to tell the Tavares Floyd story, too, because I went to the hair salon press conference.
The super secret press conference?
On Saturday, yeah. Not today, though, because people are still voting today. And size, there's
that's integrity, MP.
There's rules. And this is a society of rule and law, or at least it is for another 9 hours. We'll see what happens. So I'll tell those stories tomorrow, unless we're still counting, in which case I won't be in here tomorrow. If we're still counting votes over the Richmond, or contingency plans have been made. You'll hear me do a radio show tomorrow. I think I'll be here. I think we'll resolve all the major city questions tonight, because that's all we're doing is just tallying up the mayor, the city council, all that. I think we'll be done by the end of the night. I got my dream team. You know the deal. You got to get pizza on election night. We're holing up in Church Hill tonight. We got an office for the night. I don't know if you've been to Pizza Bones over there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So this is easy. They're closed today.
Oh.
Yeah. So I got to figure out where to get pizza from. This is the most important decision I'll make all day.
Bottoms Up is over there.
Bottoms Up's over there. It's thick, though.
Yeah. It's a different pizza than Pizza Bones.
That kind of style, I think, is on the way out. I don't want to look out of touch with the common man. I mean, it's election day.
I mean.
Speaking of pizza, I was at the Stew last night. VCU defeated Bellarmine 84-65. That's the uneventful part of it. They have pregame pizza for the media, which is appreciated.
So yeah.
Free pizza is always appreciated.
Pizza.
Yeah, absolutely. The controversy over there, though, is the pizza's been disappearing earlier and earlier with every passing game. Going back to last year, like, it used to be like you could get there an hour before the game and there was pizza, and then by the end of the year you had to get there an hour and a half before the game. Hour and a half wasn't enough last night. It went very quickly.
Ooh, vacuumed up.
Yeah. So we're keeping our eye on that this season as well. VCU basketball is underway. Do you remember we did bowling with Robbie and Rodney last year?
How could I forget bowling with Robbie and Rodney?
They took a couple jabs at me for not having them on this program.
They did.
Which was not incorrect. I haven't had them on the program. They weren't wrong. And it wasn't intentionally. We have 2 hours I've got a small number of guests that appear on this show each week, and God, they're all friends, really.
Carefully selected.
But I think Robbie and Rodney are friends now. I think we should let them on this year. So we'll reach out.
If you insist.
I saw them last night.
If they bring pizza, they're welcome.
They can bring their VCU knowledge, and they're in this year. We'll line it up. They couldn't be on yesterday because it was a Commanders victory Monday. That's something we're gonna have to sort out. Because I love VCU basketball. We're the home of the Rams, and also the Commanders are 7-2, and the Cowboys are losing. We've only got so much Monday show, and there's a lot of things we got to cover during that Monday show. The Tuesday show, though, we got all the time in the world, as evidenced by the fact that we're just yapping. We're 5 minutes in. I haven't even addressed that Max Scholga was friggin' lights out last night. 4 for 4 behind the arc, 6 for 6 overall, 5 rebounds. Really, really impressive. Drew 8 fouls, which is like, that's not like the biggest stat. He was playing so good last night. And what I love too, Ryan Odom after the game was like, yeah, he's got some stuff to clean up, and he knows that. Whatever this relationship is, because we talked to both of them, right? We had Max and Ryan both on, and they're both... Max wants to make it to the NBA, and Ryan Odom wants him to make it to the NBA. And so there's this thing where, like, he showed up and just played 35 lights-out minutes against Bellarmine last night, and afterward, right, it's, we're going to get him back to the lab. We're going to make him better. I'm excited to see what this turns into because I think Max is super coachable. Like, I didn't get the sense he's pushing back. I think he wants it. I think he did the NBA route and worked out for the scouts and you know, did that, and he did his Villanova thing for a minute. And what he heard from the NBA scouts was, nah, you're not ready yet for the league. I think he wants to be, and I think he's willing to put in the work. I'm really excited to see how he develops over the course of the year. Philip Russell. Y'all are going to love Philip Russell. Over under on Philip Russell technicals this year, 3.5. Easy. This kid just runs his mouth, plays with his hair on fire every time he's out. The Bellarmine kids definitely wanted to take a swing at Phil Russell 3 minutes into the game. He's going to be that guy, like, you love him when he's on your team and you hate him when he's not on your team. He is going to be a fantastic asset for this year's VCU team. He's going to be a fan favorite. He was 5 for 9 behind the arc. I mean, these guys shoot the three. Joe Bamis, though, was 2 for 7 from three. Not lacking in confidence. We'll play our post-game interview with the players later. Phil, Joe Bam, and Max came in to do the post-game interview with us. Zeb Jackson's injury, though, I think was your major story of the night. Zeb's hanging out during warmups. It's a broken metatarsal bone in his finger. His arm was in a sling, so that part was weird because I'm not used to seeing that for a broken finger. I'm sure there was a great medical reason for that. He had it wrapped up. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. And if there's a position they've got depth at, it's guard. There are, you know, Phil Russell just slid on in, played some great minutes. Yeah, Joe Bam slid in, played some great minutes. And you got guys behind them, too, who got the minutes as well. So I'm not worried about it from a minutes perspective. But it's tough because he's a senior leader of this team. And he's an important part of what they want to do. And he's got that big game experience. Here is Ryan Odom on What's Up with Zeb Jackson.
Yeah, unfortunate. Obviously, I was sitting in here on whatever day that was for, you know, the media day, and you know, he was fine. And then we went into practice, and he had an unfortunate situation, and went off the court and started, you know, messing with his hand, and got over there with Jay Walsh. Actually, went back in and started practicing again, and it just didn't feel right. And then he went out, and I was like, well, let's just go X-ray it real quick. And he literally went with his uniform on and went across the street and got the X-ray, and we got the news, and it's unfortunate. And he's already had the surgery now, as you can see. I didn't want to distract, you know, from getting ready for the game, you know, with announcing it until now. I did tell Robbie, obviously, so he could announce it on the air, you know, as the game was going on. But just feel really bad for, you know, Zeb, most importantly. But we have one of the best hand doctors in all of the country, and Dr. Cotterell, and she did ACEs surgery. She did Joe's this summer, and so Joe's already been counseling Zeb, you know, on kind of the what the experience and the feeling that he's going to have over the next couple of days. And then Jay Wall is going to work his magic, and then we'll see. You know, we'll see what it is. I mean, typically it's 4 weeks, but we don't know where it's going to head. It's he's going to play as soon as he's ready.
It's was a Zoolander, the hand model. We got the best hand doctor in America. Let's dun 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 fee dun 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 dun. See, best hand doctor in America. Let's go. Let's get these guys back. We've got history with it. We got the best hand doctor in America. Let's get Zeb back for these big games. Charleston feels like a reach, but also Charleston's 3 weeks from now. It's a 4 week injury. Jaden Daniels played 1 week after his thing, so anything's possible is what I've learned. Maybe get that guy some minutes in Charleston. I don't know. Maybe I'm overly optimistic. Either way, we're in it this week, and big game for the Rams on Friday. They will take on Boston College. Big program today, as you know. It is a Tuesday. We will do Commander's Rewind at 11 o'clock. That's a thing we do all the time around here, where we play back some of our favorite moments, go over the game. My chat with Craig Hoffman, of course. Why did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go for two? We need to address that. We'll go around the NFL in our next segment, and as I mentioned, you'll hear more from the VCU players after their big win last night against Bellarmine. Season's off and running. They didn't show anything last night, and I'm really glad they didn't show anything last night, because they got a big game Friday. Boston College, Chad Venning, part three, for Chad Venning. You know, I think about the two last year. They got better in the second one, but not good enough. That will be a big storyline coming into Friday's game. They came out. It was firm in the middle. Christian Furman holding down the forward spot. They listed him as a center and four guards. I think that's the lineup they want to play. You saw him rotate. They tried some other looks. They tried moving Jack Clark in. Jack Clark, listed at 6'10". No, he's not. I think they may be giving him 3 whole inches there.
He's a Tinder 6'10"?
He's a Tinder 6'10". You don't hear about you hear about a lot of, like, there are more 6 foot guys than any other height in America, right? Because anything 5'10" and above, you're in the club.
Basically 6 foot.
Yeah, he's basically 6 foot. He's basically 6'10".
Basically 7 foot. Oh my God.
They played the all-British interior with Bamboye and Michael Bell, which I don't know how that works. Like, is there extra chemistry there? I don't know. As a person who likes patterns, it's amusing when they put the two British guys together in the interior. A lot of different combinations. Basketball is not my sport. Football's my sport for intellectual breaking it down. I didn't get the sense they were doing a lot. I got the sense it was a little bit more, hey, let's get our win. Let's get out of here. Let's get on to a big game Friday. But it's good to be in VCU hoop season. It's good to have a team with high expectations. And, of course, we'll check in on the Rams later in the program. Right now, though, I want to go around the NFL. We'll do that after this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Party rocking election day. MP on the mic. Let's go. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app on a VCU victory Tuesday. Big win for the Rams. Took care of Bellarmine by 19 last night. It was close. I don't know that it needed to be close, but I think it was close by design. VCU was just trying so many different lineups, and I don't get the sense they were in their sets by any stretch. I think this was about getting loose, getting ready for Friday. No sugarcoating it. Big opportunity Friday against an ACC team. 6 o'clock tip-off out there in Annapolis. Asked Ryan Odom about that. We'll play that later in the week as the week goes on. Post-game interview was a lot of fun. Max Schulga came in. He's fun. Joe Bamisil is, of course, the star of any interview he participates in, although I think Phil Russell's going to give him his run for his quotability money this year. Those are the three you'll hear weighing in on the game here. You're listening to the home of the Rams, 910 The Fan.
This is our goal every game, to just play as a team, you know, just share the ball and find the best shot. So the open man is the open guy is the go-to guy, so that's how we play.
Joe, you had the back-to-back baseline dunks. midway through that second half, I think. I think Phil drew a charge during that sequence. Walk us through that. It seemed like that was kind of a knockout blow for the game.
Okay, let me tell you what happened. Phil threw me the ball. I spinned. I lost the ball. I was like, I can dunk this. So I dunked it. The next possession down, they closed out to my feet. I was like, I can dunk this.
Exactly.
So I dunked it. Shout out to Jesus.
Phil, how are you enjoying the VCU fans so far? I seem you have a good relationship with them already.
I love it. I love it. I was just telling the guys, like, I wish I went here all 4 years, man. This fan base is crazy. Like, I remember I came out to shoot around. It was a decent amount. I came back out. Stu was rocking. Stu was definitely rocking. So I love it.
And Bellarmine, known for their like pass first offense, how did y'all kind of game plan for that during the week? Like, that's very different from what a lot of teams run.
Well, our coaches did a great, great job with scout. So everything they threw at us, we was already prepared for it. I feel like that's mainly it. Just locking in practice, and you know.
I mean, it's just about they move a lot. That's how they play. So we knew we had to, we knew we were gonna run a lot this game, like on defense. Like, they switch the ball side to side. They cut through. Like, it's a lot of like split actions and stuff like that. So. We're preparing for it the whole week, so we're going to be ready.
Do you guys like those kind of smaller lineups with Jack at the five and Michael Bell before? It seemed like that really worked well tonight.
Yeah, I think it's just like throwing different looks at the teams, see how they react. So, it's been working so far, so that's great.
Can you guys talk about the job Michael Bell did tonight? It seems like he brought a level of toughness, and he does a lot of the dirty stuff that, you know, doesn't get the credits, but... Just talk about the job he did tonight.
We were actually just talking about that before we broke down. Like, he played a wonderful job. Like, he was toughness. He crashed the glass. He defended. He did a great job. I'm happy for him.
You guys didn't have a ton of time to get ready for this without Zep. What was that preparation like, and what does it look like going forward if he's going to be out for a little bit of time?
I mean, it's just next man up mentality. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we rely on one person to do everything, you know what I mean? Like, we would love to have Zep back as soon as possible. And but, you know, there's no problem. The next man steps up and we just feel for each other and play for each other. So, that's how we do it.
And that's why I feel like this team is, like, very special, because the depth is crazy. You see, Coach had no hesitation in throwing the freshmen in there as well. I feel like them young guys played well. Having Zell back would be tremendous, but next guy mentality, and that's it.
Yeah, that's the right answer there. I think if there's a positive from last night, it's that the young guys put in some really good minutes. Terrence Hill, 11 minutes, looked good. Running up and down the court, I thought he played a good game. And, you don't want to lean on him too heavily right now. You want to let him continue to grow, but it's great to see him. Brandon Jennings, 15 minutes in front of the home crowd, and then at the end, Fats Phillips and our guy Luke Bamboye, the British sensation, hottest thing since fish and chips, in for 2.5 minutes right there. We'll get better British analogies. I'm still coming around the fact we're going to have two British guys on the VCU team. So we may even need like a British invasion sounder at some point.
I was going to say, didn't we fight a war about this?
They sent us the Beatles, and they've sent us Michael Bell and Luke Bamboye. So we're getting, and there was that one time when Wayne Rooney coached DC United for a minute. That's what we've got so far.
And in return, they get Aaron Rodgers.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Great Britain. You can have him anytime you want him, because 9:30 a.m. is the perfect time for him to be playing football. Other things I loved there, because everybody's in a good mood after a win. Shout out to Jesus, just needs to be mentioned, because it's Joe Pamisil is... he's a natural-born entertainer. It was a great recap there of his stretch of two in a row after missing the three and then coming back strong. And Phil Russell, I love it. Makes me wish I had played all 4 years at VCU. Love hearing that. He's a fan favorite already. He felt the energy and the juice. Officially listed as a sold-out crowd. Unofficially, maybe about 1,000, 1,500 seats empty. Every ticket sold, not every ticket redeemed. But it was a good crowd for a Monday night and an opener. And Ryan Odom took on that topic at length. Understandably so. There's been attendance is a big focus down there at the Siegel Center. Great to see an early game. Here's Ryan Odom in his opening statement and focusing on the crowd and what it means and what they need.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Obviously, anytime you win, it's a good thing, and certainly we were all excited, you know, to get back in the Siegel and really appreciate the turnout, you know, tonight. We need to keep that going. You know, certainly I'm sure there are tickets for sale for our next homestand after we play Boston College when we come back home, but we need that type of atmosphere. I love seeing Phil when he made that big play, you know, like pumping up the crowd and like getting our crowd into it. Like, this place could really impact, you know, the opponents, and we need that. We definitely need it, and that's as loud as a building I've been in, you know, and I've coached a lot of places, and when it's alive, it's alive, and we need it for every game. All right, all of these games are really, really important, and Bellarmine, I thought, you know, they did a really nice job. Early in the season, it's tough, you know, to kind of figure out, you know, what different teams have. You can't really account for guys putting work, you know, in the summer and getting better and improving. You have to kind of see it for yourself when you get out there. And you know, certainly some of their guys have continued to improve. They've gotten healthy, you know, having guys back. They've added some key pieces, I think, like we have, that have helped their team. But even you look at their red shirts last year, those guys that were freshmen that didn't play last year, they redshirted, and now they practiced all year and to get ready for this season. And I thought they had several guys off the bench, you know, that did a really nice job as well. And they're an extremely well-coached team. Coach Davenport does such a great job. I know he was excited to be back here, you know, at VCU, kind of the beginning of his college coaching career, and coached a lot of games, you know, in his life. And you know, I appreciate him coming back. And I think Coach Polio was here. Tubby Smith was here as well to see him, which was really cool. But I thought his team played well. You know, they competed really hard in that first half, and we would stretch it, and then they'd come back. You'd stretch it, come back, and we couldn't quite, you know, get it to a margin that we wanted in that first half, and we had to go back in and regroup a little bit. Certainly 37 points was too many, you know, in that first half. And I thought our guys in the second half, you know, did a much better job of forcing some more difficult shots, you know, and then cleaning those up and then turning those into, you know, some easier baskets, you know, up the court. But Michael Bell, you know, to me, you know, played like a veteran, you know, tonight, coming off the bench. We really needed him in that situation because of how they play. You know, they're all moving around, and their five men are out behind the three, and then they're near the basket, and then they're reversing the ball, and it's like they're moving all over. Our scout team did a great job, you know, of getting our guys ready, you know, for this game, for to give them a taste, just a taste of what they were going to experience within the game, because it wears you down, all right? Them moving that ball side to side, you can get really winded quickly, and that's why we subbed pretty early. Firm, you know, can explain why a little bit later, but he's done that before in practice, and then he comes right back and does it and plays. Once everybody settled in, you know, I thought our veterans, you know, did a really nice job. But always pleased to win, and you know, thankful for, you know, the guys in our locker room.
I think you heard a little bit of that in those comments. I'll go back to the Siegel Center stuff in a second. But he coaches these guys hard, and I think they appreciate that. And that's the sort of thing you only have with that relationship that's developed over the course of a year, over the course of going through this stuff together. And they're in a better spot than they were last year at this time. Now, what does it mean? Doesn't mean much if they can't win in Charleston, can't win in Annapolis, but it puts them in position to do that. They're scheduled to do that. The fun starts Friday right here on The Fan. 6 o'clock should be a great game, and if VCU can pull it off, there's going to be a lot of hype behind this year's team. You heard him mention they want the crowd. He's encouraging the ticket sales. It's a big push, and I think the more people that are there, the better of a time everybody who's there has. And so that's a big focus, is making sure people get out there and pack the stew, because it is more fun to go to a game when it's full than when it's half full. And last night was a nice atmosphere and a starting point on the road to what it needs to be. And we'll follow the journey all season long, of course, right here on The Fan. Building towards 11 o'clock, that's when we do Commander's Game Rewind. We'll take it to AWOD Radio at noon. Grant and Danny will drive you home. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hour number two, taking you up to AWOD Radio, NFL trade deadline day. We're keeping our eye on the situation. No action so far involving the Washington Commanders. Could change. We've got 5 hours to go. 8 hours to go to get out there and vote. That'll be the end of my political commentary for today. I am promising, though, Tavares Floyd's story time tomorrow, assuming we've got the votes counted and I'm in here. So you can look forward to that. Not today, though, because we have rules. Still an election going on out there. We can't do story time today. A little news from Rap Sheedy and Rappaport. The Las Vegas Raiders are not firing Antonio Pierce. They can't do that. He's only been the head coach for a little while now. But they are bringing back Norv Turner as an offensive advisor. Of course, Scott Turner is on that staff as well. You remember both of them from their stints in Washington, and I don't know if you caught AWOD's laughter at that, but it is certainly warranted. I just love staring at that mess that is the Raiders offense, you know, like just like four people like staring over the smoldering, you know, crater there. It's, you know what this situation needs? A little bit of that Turner magic. That's exactly what this situation calls for right here. We don't have to worry about those things in Washington. Just a smooth, well-run football team that's 7-2. I believe that means it's time for a little Commander's Rewind.
What's that smell?
No, I taste victory.
Oh, victory!
There we go. That's the good stuff. Commander's Rewind. Here's where I want to start. I don't know if you saw Jaden Daniels was at the Wizards game last night. He traded jerseys with Steph Curry after the game, obviously, when he's in town, the celebrities come out. They showed him on the video board. Right before they showed him, they played the clip of the Hail Mary, which was, of course, the right thing to do to whip the crowd into a frenzy. He's going to be known by that play for a long time, if not forever, because it's one of the great plays of the NFL season, and it'll be one of the great plays in franchise history when it's all said and done, especially if Jaden has a great career. So that's where we want to start, because they beat the Bears on a last-second Hail Mary that was insane, that people were talking about. They got him another Rookie of the Week. They got him more national attention. Here's Dan Quinn. He was asked by the radio crew, when did you get over the Hail Mary?
How long did it take you to get over what happened a week ago?
Awesome. Tuesday.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. And I wanted to acknowledge to the team, like, this was such a cool play and a historic play, so I didn't want to miss it and say, hey, don't worry about it, get back to the next. When you acknowledge it and say, yeah, it was cool. How do you reset, you know, as an entire group? And that's what, you know, I thought the guys did, and it probably took the team, I felt, probably till maybe Friday or Saturday.
Oh, really?
Not from a...
That's all right. We'll get to Dan Quinn there in a second. Dan Quinn talking about... I love the 2 points there. One, you wanted everybody to enjoy it because you were a part of something special, and then two, obviously, you needed to focus a game against this Giants team that... It was coming in from a desperate spot at 2-6 and certainly has given these guys some bad losses in the past. You also, I saw the stat, the last seven NFL teams that had won on the final play of the game lost their next week, so certainly reasonable to expect there to be some kind of a hangover there. You throw in the injuries, and Jaden Daniels obviously isn't 100%. He had the heat pack on his ribs the whole game, and he had... Yeah, you know, Brian Robinson was out, and you've got Cornelius Lucas out, right? So they're banged up to start with, and I think that's when coaching can win and lose you games. And I don't want to go too deep on Brent Pry today because this is Commander's Rewind, right? But the Hokies have been in that situation twice now, where the quarterback's banged up, where you don't have the roster you want on the field, and that's when coaching can make a difference between winning and losing. And I thought Dan Quinn handled the game well. Cliff Kingsbury called a great plan. Just great to have that level of competence overseeing the team. Do we have DQ lined up? Let's hear from DQ on just, it's the little things, because the Giants severely botched using their timeouts. And we haven't, Washington's been aggressive around the half and around the end of game this year, and I think it's really paid off for them.
With maybe 11 seconds to go, all that scenario, O-zone, where it's either in the end zone or out of bounds because you can't complete it inbounds, so the touchdown to Terry, and then I thought in the 4 minute at the end of the game, you know, strong runs by Chris and then a big catch by OZ, you know, to be able to finish with the ball at the end, that's a big deal. And this was going to be a tough game. We knew this, and but I thought a lot of poise in that spot.
There was. There was a lot of poise, and the Terry McLaurin touchdown right before halftime, a great throw, but also great use of clock management to get that extra throw, that extra play, and turn a 14-7 game into a 21-7 game, and you get the ball coming out of the half. Those are backbreakers in the NFL, right? Now you're at halftime saying, we got to stop them to be down two possessions instead of stop them and we can get back on the board here. Let's skip ahead to number four here, because I want to get to, I think the Giants did some good things. They established the run early. It faded late, but certainly watching that first drive, you think, man, you know, they put this game on in black and white with some leather helmets. They're not going to throw the ball all day long. Daniel Jones, he's always dangerous with his legs. Ran the ball seven times for 54 yards. Jaden Daniels not the only guy who can win with his legs, and his touchdown was very impressive.
Robinson in motion right. They had, nope, Jones is going to keep it, runs to his left, bounces off a tackler and into the touchdown.
It's it bounces off a tackler. He threw the tackler. Daniel Jones, he's tough, and he was hanging in there. What I loved about this is that the Giants never possessed the ball in the second half in a one-possession game. I know what the final score says, 27-22. But at no point did the Giants possess the ball needing a score to tie or to take the lead. those things are important, right? Here's the Daniel Jones touchdown throw, and this is what sets up the finish here, because this is the moment where they make a game of it.
Jones back to throw, fires it up the middle for his Theo Johnson up the seam into the end zone, touchdown. They got it right on the seam route that time.
That makes it 27-22. The Commanders have to back it up on their final possession, and they did. They had the 5-minute, 39-second drive in the fourth quarter, and then they salted away. Both of those were big boy football drives, right? Where every play was crucial, because if you fall behind the sticks, you're going to be punting the ball, and the Giants are going to be able to press you. At no point did it happen. And I think those are the little things. We talk about the Commanders and we talk about why they're succeeding this year. Jayden Daniels is number one on that list. You're not going to hear otherwise from me. But number two is the coaching. They're doing the little things. They're doing the right things that they need to do to stay ahead of the chains. I'm going to spare everybody the conversation about the two-point conversion. It's still the right thing to do when you're down 14 and you score. I'm done explaining math to people. That's all right. Didn't end up being relevant in this game. What did matter, though, let's play a couple of these plays from the fourth quarter, because when these guys need a play, they get a play. They don't miss on fourth down. They don't miss on third and long. Some of these guys, right? Olamide Zaccheaus, two catches in the game, but shows up in a really big moment right here.
Daniels is in no rush, lifts his foot, takes the snap, play action, rolling right, throwing back left, has a wide open. Olamide Zaccheaus at the 45 racing, stays in bounds at the 27-yard line. What a play by Daniels to Zaccheaus.
What a play call by Cliff Kingsbury. This is a scissors route off of play action, and what I love even more, they go max protection to ensure that Daniels had enough time to get the wide open Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah, you'd have no idea the Giants blitzed on most of these plays. They did. That freed up guys to make plays, and Jayden Daniels found them. That's what you love about the kid. He processes at a really high level. Found the open receivers. Here's Austin Ekeler doing his part. B-Rob out. Austin Ekeler in. No drop-off in key moments.
Here's the snap. Giants break five. Pressure up the middle. Jayden backing up. Throws one to Austin Ekeler. Cuts back at the 45-50. Can he get away from another? Yes, to the 40. And brought down in Giants territory at the 35-yard line. Another conversion for Daniels and company.
This is just cool, calm, collected. Jayden Daniels at his best. He's retreating to avoid the rush, and that allows Austin Ekeler to come wide open. The Giants, they bust coverage. And Austin Ekeler, as he's done so many times this season, making plays after the catch, picking up first downs.
Gain of 27 on a third and nine.
Lennon's not cool, calm, and collected. That's all right, though. He's in the radio booth. He's allowed to lose his mind. And then it was funny because I wondered if the Giants were going to challenge or if the booth would review the last play when they get to the one, because they get the first down to win the game. If they score, of course, the Giants get the ball back and could have tried to make something happen, although that's tough with the new onside kick rules. Either way, here's the play that wins things for the Commanders.
Jones snaps. He's going to throw for it. Bouncing out backwards to the 15-yard line, chased by three Commanders, and he is sacked for the second time. The Commanders have foiled a Giants two-point conversion.
That's Bram Weinstein. You heard him right here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Let's finish this sucker off. It's a Commanders game rewind. Might as well put this thing away and call it 7-2.
They get a first down here or a touchdown here. The game's over. 1:41 to go. Rodriguez to the right of Daniels. Third and one. Handoff right up the middle. Met at the line of scrimmage. Drags DJ Davidson to the goal line. Did he score?
I thought he scored.
Oh, no, come on. He stopped at the goal line.
That's a bad spot.
But because he got a first down, Washington can go into victory formation here.
I like that it takes him a minute to realize they actually don't want him to score the touchdown because the game is over with the first down. All the way to the inch line, don't need the touchdown, though. Just need to walk away with the victory. Commanders go to 7-2 on the season. All right, before we get to break, let's play clip 11, because y'all know I said this yesterday. I think the offensive line was the stars of this game. They held the Giants back and repelled them every time they brought pressure, which was pretty often during the game. Nick Allegretti chatting with our guy J.P. Finley after the game about fixing Brandon Coleman's popped out finger on the sideline. This is gross.
Do you have to be a doc out there? Did you have to help Coleman?
Yeah. Had to pop the finger back in. I almost went down because I'm queasy. Did not enjoy that. He's like, just pull it. So I looked away and we got her back in. But man, not a.
Have you done that before?
To myself, yes. Never had to do it to a teammate. Glad it worked, but didn't enjoy that.
Did you get the right finger?
I'm glad. Said, just pull it. I was like, all right. But, I mean, yeah, BC's done an incredible job. I mean, just the composure that he's shown, you know, week in, week out, getting asked to go. Brian Burns is a good edge rusher, being one-on-one on him most of the day. I mean, he has done an incredible job. All the rookies, they're very composed, mature. You know, 21, 22, 23-year-olds. Very, very cool rookie class so far.
Yeah, it's certainly when you find a left tackle in the third round and that left tackle starts and finishes a big game and holds back a pass rush, there's a lot to that. But that's some good scouting. That's some good playing. That's some good coaching. Starts with Adam Peters, comes all the way down. It's just nice to be talking about a smoothly run, functional organization. That's 7-2. Headed into a fun stretch of games, Steelers this weekend, Eagles, and the Cowboys. Commanders game rewind, we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'll play my conversation with Craig Hoffman here in about, what would that be, 17 minutes. I'm good at math. I can do math. 17 minutes. That's 11:30. AWOD Radio up at noon. We'll crosstalk, do a little Commanders crosstalk as well, ask him about last night's VCU basketball win. We'll take it all on. We'll update you on the latest on the NFL trade deadline. Dak Prescott likely headed to injured reserve. What it means for the Cowboys ahead of their game against the Eagles this weekend. On the other side, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Can't believe I left out my favorite Commanders stat, because I did. They're now tied with the Chiefs for the most coin toss wins in all of football. 7-2 on the coin toss. Doesn't correlate perfectly with the 7-2 record. Still impressive, though. You win the coin toss, you win the game. The rest is just formalities. Am I the only person who thinks they shouldn't be testing the emergency alert system on Election Day?
They're getting real close to the line.
Where's the line, Bob? Feels like there's better days to test the emergency alert system.
No, let's do it Tuesday. Is anything happening today?
Nothing's happening. Orson Welles in here with War of the Worlds, man. It's a little deep radio cut for you. I can't use my favorite election line anymore. It's the Simpsons episode where the two aliens dress up as Clinton and Dole, and it's Kang and Kodos. They both say the same thing, but then half the people applaud for each of them. Uh-huh. And at the end, the aliens take over the world, and Homer's walk-off line is, "Well, don't blame me. I voted for Kodos." And that's my favorite election day bit. But every year, it's further and further from the pop culture zeitgeist, if you will.
Ooh.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Been up for a while.
Yeah. How many cups of coffee have you had?
I've been rolling. I was at the polls at 6 a.m.
Woo.
You better going back when we're done here.
Bright and early.
Somebody's got some counting to do, you know? We got to count these ballots tonight. Richmonder.org. That's the place to be, so I've heard. And then tomorrow, story time, as you would expect, the day after the election, we can spill all the tea in here during the program tomorrow. Dak Prescott is probably headed to injured reserve. That, according to our guy Jerry Jones, who is the source of all Cowboys news, of course, during his weekly appearances on our sister station, The Fan in Dallas. Cooper Rush will start against the Eagles this week. Trey Lance, now the backup. I haven't heard much about Trey Lance since that trade that sent him from San Francisco to Dallas. He's now one snap away from playing quarterback for the Cowboys, though, who are in a bit of a make-or-break situation here against the Eagles this week. If they lose to Philly, I don't see any path for them to the playoffs, and certainly no path to the NFC East title in terms of even just staying relevant down the stretch. Cowboys added Jonathan Mingo from the Panthers, tossing them a fourth-round draft pick for that. That's your biggest move so far at the trade deadline. The Lions go to Cleveland, grab edge rusher Za'Darius Smith. You knew they'd want to get one. They do their shopping early in the day. 4 p.m. deadline for the NFL trading today. We'll keep an eye on that. But Dak Prescott probably headed to IR. That's 4 games. You can maybe sneak a couple of them across the finish line, but that's a bad sign for the Cowboys. And then you talk about the offseason and what do? You've got all this money committed. You've got a team that's not winning. I sure think it's probably coaching switch time in Dallas. Do you go to a Belichick? Do you go to a veteran guy and try again with this group to win now? Do you find a young guy, blow it up, and go the route where you rebuild everything? Tough decisions for the Dallas Cowboys coming this offseason. Knowing Jerry Jones, he'll wait as long as he can. I know the reputation is he's this impatient guy who fires everybody. He's been sticking with coaches much longer than the league average, certainly over the last few years. McCarthy was, he's been there longer than he would be in a lot of franchises. And of course, Jason Garrett was their coach for a long time. He's had way more patience than could be justified. I'm curious if there's a switch the other way coming, because you're locked into these guys. You got to win with them. You might as well get a veteran coach who could try to get the most out of them, try to get them into a winning position, because that's a program that, if not for the Giants, they'd be the worst in the NFCs for sure. I think the Giants are taking that cake now. Brian Daboll, it's not just that they committed to Daniel Jones. It's not just that Saquon's been as bad as bad a move as you could have possibly made, letting him walk while you re-signed Daniel Jones. Then he's hurling over people. He's setting records in Philly. He's not good at managing the clock, and he hasn't been good at managing the games either. Coming in on the heels of a guy who, did the quarterback kneel down and the quarterback sneak on 3rd and 11. You remember that game against the football team way back when. The Giants have had... They're rapidly moving into the poorly managed team category here. Funny to think that Eli Manning may have been the guy holding that operation together for so long, but it sure looks like Eli Manning was the guy holding that operation together for a while. And then you got You got Philly rolling. Certainly, that's going to be a fun game in 2 weeks. And Philly-Dallas has the feel of a knockout game if the Eagles can pull it off this weekend. Let's take a break. When we come back, my conversation with Craig Hoffman, all things Commanders, wrapping up the game, getting you ready for the week ahead. We'll crosstalk with AWOD, get back to the court where VCU took down Bellarmine 84-65 last night in front of a sold-out crowd, if not a full crowd, at the Siegel Center. Great early showing for Philip Russell, who I think is going to be a fan favorite. Max Schulga was so good, 4-for-4 behind the arc, playing at a really high level. They'll need that on Friday. We'll dive into all of it. We've got another half hour with you. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Here we go. Happy Election Day. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Driving you around on the free Odyssey app worldwide. Of course, Commanders Game Rewind coming at 11 o'clock. Great to hear from some of the VCU Rams and Coach Ryan Odom after an 84-65 victory over Bellarmine last night. Nice atmosphere at the Siegel Center. Nice to get the season started. Good to see everybody in good spirits there. And a lot of minutes for the young guys, a lot of minutes for the new guys. A lot of different roster combinations as Ryan Odom figures out what he wants to do with this year's team, particularly in the absence of Zeb Jackson, who we've learned will be out about 4 weeks with a broken finger. He was hanging out on the sideline during last night's game, and we'll see how quickly he gets back. Best hand doctor in America. That's what Ryan Odom said. They got him at the best. Nothing but the finest over at VCU. Want to check in on some of the NFL action from yesterday. Our Mondays have been consumed with the Commanders winning. Our weeks have been consumed with the Commanders winning. They're very good at football right now. They're 7-2. It's been a joy to watch. But I don't want to let these other storylines go unnoticed. For example, did you know the Dallas Cowboys are not doing well at football right now?
And the backflip from Darnell Mooney after Cousins touches a knee will send Atlanta to 6-3. Falcons are winners today. 27-21 is the final here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
You throw in last night's game with Tampa losing in Kansas City, and I still think Tampa is a potential playoff team, 4-5, plenty of time to get there. Right now, your three playoff teams would be Vikings, Packers, and Eagles. I think the Vikings or Packers will fall off by the time we get there. I think there will be room for another team. I do think the Commanders, Eagles, non-division winner is going to be a playoff team when the dust settles. We'll wait and see what happens with the Vikings and Packers. But I think Tampa could be in that conversation. I think the West teams are going to beat up on each other from here on out. One of them's going to win. Right now, Arizona's in the driver's seat, but I think the Rams and the 49ers both have a legit claim on that as well. Tough loss for the Seahawks. Geno Smith throwing the interceptions at home. That was not at all what they wanted to see there. But in the NFC South, big doings. Saints fired their coach. Why do you fire a coach in the middle of the season? That's easy. You lose to the Carolina Panthers.
Bryce under center. Chuba's the deep back. Snap. Give it to Chuba. Chuba inside the 10, 5, slides into the end zone. Touchdown, Panthers. He spikes the ball, and Carolina's got a lead.
That'll do it. You can't lose to the Carolina Panthers. Come on now. Dennis Allen fired at a 2-7 record. He is the second coach to be shown the exits this year. The Jets have also, of course, made a coaching change. Didn't do much for them, won't do much for the Saints, other than giving them a head start on whatever's next for them. 2-7. Quarterback tied up with big money. In my new favorite stat, all eyes on week 17, Derek Carr, first NFL quarterback to lose to 31 different teams. Several quarterbacks have lost to 30 teams. He's lost to 31 now after losing to the Panthers. 32 would be the Raiders. December 29th, mark it down. To me, this is what the Thursday night game should always be about, right? It shouldn't be about, like, let's get Steelers-Cowboys into Thursday night football and try to maximize ratings. It should be, what is the one game on this schedule that nobody wants to see but will be comically bad in a good way? Let's get that game to Thursday night, flex it there so that America can have a chance to watch these teams, right? You get, like, the Chase Young Bowl back in the day when the Giants played the football team. That's prime Thursday night material. That's what I want out of Thursday night football. Give me Derek Carr trying to be the first man in history to lose to 32 different NFL teams. I am 1,000% in on that storyline. I would watch the crap out of that on Thursday night. Sorry, Al Michaels. It's what the people want. Jameis Winston. Here's the thing about Jameis Winston. They said this on TV. He's good for four every week. That's either touchdowns or interceptions. And you just never know which combination of those you're going to get. And that's what makes the Jameis Winston experience so fun.
Jameis from the shotgun. Looking right. Now looking middle. Throwing right. And tapped. Intercepted. Take the knee. How about that combo? Elijah Molden. Another interception.
That's the surging Los Angeles Chargers 5-3 with the Broncos revealing themselves as frauds against the Ravens, which I think we all saw coming. Chargers have a chance to slide into one of those playoff spots in the AFC. Going to be a fun finish there. Jameis, he did what he could for the Browns. Alas, he is, it turns out, not the answer there. He makes things fun, though. We had our fun with him last week when he beat the Ravens. Chargers got the better of him this week. Let's slide to Buffalo, where I think the Bills are the first team that we could say have basically locked up their playoff spot.
Waddle in pursuit is Rousseau, and he wraps him up and drops him at the 6-yard line. Daddy Longlegs gets all over Jalen Waddle and drops him at the 6, and that'll do it. The Bills, in inspiring fashion, win 30-27 and improve to 7-2 on the season.
Inspirational? Sure. Absolutely. Not as inspirational as Saquon Barkley. I'd skip right over the Bills. They're 7-2. Nobody in their division is any good. Dolphins are bad. Jets are bad. Patriots are bad. Congrats to the Buffalo Bills. You're a playoff team in week 9. Not sure how they pulled that off in a division that I thought would be competitive. I may have given Aaron Rodgers a little too much credit before the season. That happens. But this is inspiration. Saquon Barkley running all over people.
Here we go with his 3rd and 18. They can get to the 2 for a first down. They hand the ball off to Barkley.
Well, they can
He's
do
at
this.
The 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Barkley! 20 yards!
Do this.
6-2 flying towards that collision. We're 9 days away now. Eagles Commanders on Thursday Night Football. After both the teams have very big games this weekend, Eagles Cowboys, I think is a chance to officially eliminate the Cowboys from this discussion. If the Eagles go to 7-2, kick the Cowboys to 3-6, and have the tiebreaker on them, I think we're done here, more or less. That's a big one. Commanders Steelers chance for Jaden Daniels to go against what I consider the NFL's best defense. Steelers coming off the bye as well. Nothing easy about that one. Then they meet on Thursday Night Football. So a fun upcoming stretch of football. It's Tuesday, though, so you know we are not looking forward. We are looking backwards. We'll take a peek in the rearview mirror. Commanders Game Rewind starts in a couple minutes. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. All right, you're in the West bumpers. Only Wes would play the Rocky theme repeatedly on his show. That's all right. We love our guy, Wes McElroy. I just realized for our YouTube video, the digital frame's in the shot on mine.
Yeah.
So it'll be a dynamic video. It'll be good. Before we start crosstalk, you were at the VCU game last night. I was at the VCU game last night. You called that Philip Russell was going to be a fan favorite, Phil Russell. I think he absolutely is going to be. I think Max Schulga's found another gear, too, though. He looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, he was perfect, right? 6 of 6, 4 of 4 from behind the arc. But for me, yeah, the story of the game is Philip Russell, the bulldog. He's just, I said this in the pregame show, he's a guy that you thank God he's on your team and you're not playing against him. Reminds me of Ace Baldwin, Briante Weber kind of player there that's going to get after it defensively. He's going to get the crowd fired up. Just a really good ball handler. And he is a pure point guard. And so, you know, I actually think with Zeb being out with an injury, when he comes back, he might come back as a shooting guard here and let Philip Russell play point guard, let Terrence Hill or Brandon Jennings, who had a really good game defensively, be your backup point guard, and let Zeb be more off ball. I also think Max Schulga handled the rock for a lot of that game, and it kind of makes me feel like the NBA scouts told him he needs to work on that. Because, you know, in all seriousness, that was a weakness in his game probably, ball handling and the amount of assists. If you want to make it to the NBA, right, which of course he wants to, he needs to average this season like 15-5. And how does he do that? If he's the team's point guard, basically.
It's fun to be talking VCU hoops again. I am setting the over-under on Phil Russell technicals at 2.5. Ooh. For this season.
Yeah, he'll go over that number, yeah. Yeah. Just for getting the crowd fired up, you know? I mean, he was so much fun to watch. I love this kid already, man.
He is. Awad does the pregame and the halftime at VCU, but right now he's doing a little something we like to call crosstalk.
Two hosts enter.
Let's get it on right now, all right?
Two hosts will also leave, but in between, all bets are off. This is Crosstalk with MP and Awad.
Okie dokie, let's get this show on the road!
Always fun to welcome in Awad Radio to talk Commanders, especially when they're 7-2, especially when they put the hard hat on, get a nice win against the New York Giants. For me, this is an offensive line game. They were so good against that Giants pass rush. You hardly even noticed they were sending guys, freed up the receivers to make plays. Who do you want to give a game ball to from this one?
I will go to the defensive side of the ball, Jeremy Chinn. He flashed, man. He was all over the field, especially the tackle for loss against Malik Nabers there. I mean, going downhill, looking like Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu making that play there. That was spectacular. Maybe even looking like Sean Taylor, right, to give a shout-out to a Redskins great. And so I think that was a huge part of this game, especially when you think about how Daniel Jones couldn't even pass the ball the entire first half. I really felt like this game was won by the defense and the offensive line, like what you're saying.
Yeah, 7-2 now. I mean, 7-2 is not a fluke. You don't accidentally get to 7-2. This is a playoff team. How does that change how you see the rest of this season? Because a tough little stretch here of three games coming, but also now this is a team that's proven they can hang with anybody.
Yeah, and well, the reason this team's having so much success, though, is because they're not looking ahead to next year. They're taking it one game at a time. They're focusing all week long on the game plan, and that's why Dan Quinn's your coach of the year. And it's not even close, Michael, because the game plan is being executed week in and week out, and they're making halftime adjustments, and they're doing the little things, and next man up mentality, Dan Quinn. Chris Rodriguez didn't even think he was going to play till 30 minutes before kickoff. Dan Quinn's your coach of the year, Michael.
It's fascinating to watch the parade of bad coaches come through, and Eberflus, and you know, last week with the Giants. It's hard to find a good NFL coach. There aren't 32 of them. I know that much for
sure.
Yeah,
and it just feels like he's outcoached everybody in the games we've won. And in the losses, maybe Todd Bowles got him. I mean, the blitzes got to Jaden Daniels week one, and then, you know, you'll give Harbaugh credit for the win, but that was the Derrick Henry win. But Dan Quinn, he is showing up every single week, and he's doing all the little things that Ron Rivera didn't do, and we're seeing the difference. Coaching matters.
In everything Ron Rivera said he would do about changing the culture, Dan Quinn has done in this year. And a lot of that is the ownership change, right? If Dan Quinn's coaching under Dan Snyder, we're not saying any of this. And if Ron Rivera's coaching under Josh Harris, maybe we're saying some of this. He's still bad at picking players, though. So I think ultimately that would doom him. But the ownership change is such an important part of this whole thing. And everybody just feels the fresh air.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much excitement in that locker room right now. It's everything's new. Everything's brand new. And that's why they're having so much success here. They're all excited to come to work. They're like, I know they're excited to watch film. And I think normally football players would say, oh, that part of the job sucks, and you got to sit in a room and talk about the mistakes you've made. But they're cleaning things up, especially on the defensive end. And Michael, I talked about this the first few weeks of the season with you. You were kind of worried that this defense was going to be kind of bad like it was last year, and they started off pretty bad, but they've slowly, steadily improved here. It feels like every single week guys are stepping up. I mean, how about Noah I, Mike Sainristil, Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner? So many guys on the defensive end feel like they're stepping up now and playing to the best of their potential, like Dante Fowler. And I think Dan Quinn and, of course, Joe Witt Jr. deserve the bulk of the credit for that.
They're putting guys in the right position. You can't deny that. And certainly, as you mentioned, the secondary was such a liability early in the season. Now, you trust them to hang in there for a few seconds if they need to. And certainly not a top 10 secondary, but a secondary that's able to win games and hold their own. I just think that's so important. You talk about not having weaknesses, right? Football's a game where you attack the other team's weaknesses.
Yeah.
I can't identify the glaring weakness of this team that you need to attack now that the secondary's in a much better spot.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's great to watch the defense improve, and that's why Dan Quinn deserves so much credit here, because the defense last year, you know, it was Ron Rivera, it was Jack Del Rio, and they just didn't improve. They actually got worse throughout the season, right? And we're seeing here the defense is They're developing more chemistry with each other. The communication's everything, though. And Joe Witt Jr. talked about that after the Ravens game, right? Communication was off on four plays. He said, we would have won if it wasn't for those four plays. Well, the last few games, it feels like the communication has been on from the start of the game to the end of the game. It's little things like they're switching in the middle of the play there, and because of that, the Mike Sainer still's getting a shot in the backfield to create a tackle for a loss there. They're creating negative plays to putting opposing teams into third and long situations.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that Brian Robinson comes back healthy next week too. You add in a little bit of that. I loved the 5.5 minute drive in the fourth quarter to seal the game, right? Kind of the opposite of what the Giants did in the first, where you're holding these guys at arm's length, and then you have a nice long drive, milk the clock. That's just good coaching to call that series of and wrap this thing up instead of making it a bang, bang, bang game at the finish.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, right? I mean, not good teams, great teams get into victory formation. Great teams run the ball and get a first down when everybody around the country knows they're going to run the ball. You get a little creative with your running design plays, and that's exactly what they did.
All right, AWOD Radio coming up next, 3 hours live and local. Always enjoy that. Voting on the Sports GOAT.
The Sports GOAT, yes, your greatest of all time. And so this is going to be different for a lot of people here. It's an opinion-based thing, sort of like how we're all voting today here on Election Day. And so I created a list of my four GOATs of all time, greatest of all time athletes. It's guys that when I see them play, I enjoy watching them. It's not like, hey, this is the best basketball player of all time, or this is the best football player because I picked Mike Vick. He's not Tom Brady, right? But when I watched him play, I was just obsessed with his movement and everything, and he was the greatest athlete of all time.
Excited for that. Stay tuned. Of course, you're home of the Commanders right here, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.